This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
It's now 9 minutes past eight. Good morning. Nigeria Info, let's talk. Join us on Facebook and Twitter. We are streaming live. Nigeria Info 92.3 PH on Facebook and Nigeria Info PH on Twitter. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. This morning, we are going to take a look at some of the new policies the government has put in place. Well, not really new. You might have heard about a few of them. They are all under the post-subsidy removal plans. The palliatives the government said it was setting in place. Remember the $800 million was one of the measures the government had decided to take to cushion the impact of post-subsidy removal. And that money would be going to some 50 million Nigerians who are categorized as the poor of the poor. Now, we also got to hear that with regards to the fuel subsidy issue removal, the federal government also wants to begin a 40% pay rise for workers from ending of this month. There were even talks of even backdating to 2 months before now. That has been the plan. The federal government to begin payment of planned increase and civil servants pay by the end of this month. The president is expected to give his final assent for disbursement any moment. If the proposal sails through, it means the increase will be coming about 2 months to the June date proposed for the removal of petrol subsidy. So now, the pay exclusively was tagged consequential allowance, which would lead to a 40% rise in the current pay of government workers. Now, whether it's going to be both state and local government inclusive, we cannot tell. But for the federal government, it's sure that that's the plan. If state governments are going to follow the same path, would wait and see. The coming days would tell. But the Ministry of Labour and Employment, the PRO there, Olajide, had said that the government might begin the payment of the 40% rise by the end of April this year, adding that 3 months arrears of January, February and March would be paid at a later date. This is one. The 800 million is another one. And there are also other plans, according to the government, in place for post-subsidy removal, which many believe would have great consequence on our economy. How does this policy make sense is what many people are struggling to wrap their head around. This morning, I'll be speaking with a fantastic economist. He will be joining us via telephone, Dr. Muda Yusuf. Is on the line from Lagos. He will be speaking to us. He's an economist. He's also the CEO, Center for Promotion of Private Enterprise. Dr. Yusuf, thank you for joining us on the conversation this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Just to cut to the chase, we'll just dive in straight to the bone of contention here. The 40% plan increase by the federal government, which is amongst one of its palliative plans for post-subsidy removal. Many have had to question the various strategies the government is applying and the policies it's bringing up to tackle the impact subsidy removal would have on the economy. Some do not think that this approach is the best, as well as the $800 million that was supposed to be used to pay as some sort of palliative to the poorest of the poor. Some people think all of these measures or policies aren't the perfect way to address the problem. Another thing that we've noticed is this is coming for this 40% increase is coming just a few months before the government leaves office. Overall, what's your view to some of these policies economically?
Well, thank you again for having me. Clearly, there is need to get this subsidy problem out of the way. In other words, there is need to remove the subsidy for a number of economic reasons. But talking specifically about this palliative and the strategy to manage the transition to the removal, I think it's a combination of approaches or measures. It's not just a single approach to it. There is a combination. First, for those of us that are familiar with the remuneration of salaries in the public service, it's extremely, extremely very poor. You know, where you see people maybe who have worked for 10 years, they are still on maybe salary of maybe level 10, 100,000 per month and all of that. So if you take into account the level of inflation over the last 2-3 years, and when you relate it to the salaries in the public sector, you will appreciate the fact that the purchasing power has been significantly eroded over the last few years. So it's not out of place to adjust salaries generally in the civil service. But I know this will also trigger demand for wage increases across other sectors outside the civil service. But the reality is that for people who are salary earners, incomes and purchasing power have been severely eroded.
Dr. Yusuf, it seems as though that most of the times when these increases occur, we really do not see, the aim would be to, we're trying to cushion the effect and so people do not feel this. But it's almost as though you put the money in the hands of people and then inflation goes up, prices go up, and then it's almost the same thing at just another level. We've seen in the past when we had the 30,000 Naira minimum wage implemented, we saw how we had taxes on other items increased, tariff for electricity bill became an issue. There was also increase in the price of certain import duties, taxes, etc., etc., which in turn influenced the price of commodities. So many would say, the government, when it does this, then we have this problem. So the money technically just goes back to the government without really solving the problem, which is to see how it cushions the impact that whatever policy would have on the people. Would this particular increase solve the problem? Because we know our economy runs basically on oil. And if anything happens to the price of petrol, oil in the international market, it affects the price of every commodity in the country. Does it then solve the problem to just increase the salaries?
No, this is not the only measure that the government should put in place. This is only one of them. And why this is also significant, it may not solve the problem, but it will also address part of the problem. Because whether you increase salaries or not, the reality is that prices have been going up. And one of the immediate steps you can take, you know, to cushion the effect, especially on salary and across board, is to also review their salary. But I agree with you, we need to also address issues of inflation generally. And addressing issues of inflation is beyond the issue of subsidy. It's a question of how well we manage our macroeconomic environment. That is a much bigger issue. How we manage our foreign exchange policy, how we manage our monetary policy, how we manage our debt, how we, you know, manage our fiscal deficit. All of those things are part of the things that contribute to high inflation. And these measures are not mutually exclusive. They have to go hand in hand. And in addition to that, there are also fiscal policy measures that should be put in place. It's not enough to just give salary. We should also look at how we can bring down the cost of living, which comes back to the point you are talking about. How do we bring down the cost of food? And we can do that by looking at those who are in the agricultural sector. What are the things affecting their cost of production. They complain about farm equipment, they complain about cost of fertilizer, they complain about cost of inputs, agrochemicals, cost of transportation. All of these things contribute to increases in the price of food. Farmers also in some parts of the country, they also complain about problems of insecurity. Many of them cannot go to farm. So we should also have measures to deal with productivity issues, production issues, so that the cost of food production can come down. Look at bread, for instance. The price of bread, which is a simple food, has gone up by close to 150 to 200% in the last 3 years or 2 years. What is driving that? If you talk to those who are in bread production, they will tell you about the cost of sugar. They will tell you about the cost of flour. What kind of engagement can our government have with those who are the key producers in this area to bring down the cost of sugar, to bring down the cost of flour, so that things like bread, things like noodles, these are things that common people eat. So it's a much bigger strategy than just doling out money. How many people will you give money to? What is the percentage of salary earners among the totality of the population that are working? I'm not sure they're up to 5%. So the issue is not even only about those who are earning salaries or those who are workers in the government. It's about the totality of the citizens. And for us to be able to achieve that, we need to address the issue of policy across board. Fiscal policy, monetary policy, we need to look at our tariffs. Import duty. Import duty on some of these items that people use for production are extremely very high. So these are bigger issues that need to be addressed in order to ensure that what you give in one hand, you are not taking back through the other hand. Which comes back to your question.
Because
so it's a much bigger issue. And of course, people talk about cost of transportation. In other parts of the world, two things they don't joke with as far as the ordinary people are concerned. They don't joke with food, and they don't joke with transportation. If you are familiar with all these advanced economies, no matter how poor you are, you'll be able to move around because there's efficient public transportation. And you'll be able to feed yourself. You may not be able to ride cars or do so, but those basic things are put in place. So these are models that you can copy to ensure that there is massive subsidy in public transportation. There is massive subsidy in food. That is the way it happens all over the world. So that the common people don't have this thing of access to basic things. Education in those lands are also free, especially primary education and sometimes also secondary education. So that the parents are not worrying about how to feed, how to transport, or how to educate their children, at least up to secondary school level. So we need to reorder our priorities completely.
Dr. Yusuf, sorry to interrupt you, but if I may, some people also are looking at this approach by the government and saying, well, the fact that it's coming by this time, the government just has a few months left, a few weeks left. If this plan was so laudable and was going to really tackle the problem to a certain degree, perhaps the government would have initiated it 2 years before it came, before the end of its term. Is there any rationale or economic benefit as to why it's being done now, especially when we're not sure whether the incoming government might want to continue? And how long this is even going to last is also another question, looking at the fact that the subsidy removal is supposed to take effect from June. Why isn't the money even directed towards the refineries?
Now the issue of the palliatives and all these measures that have been announced. My thinking, and I don't know whether I'm correct, is that the whole of this process will have to be managed by the incoming administration. Because it is the incoming administration that will manage whatever crisis or outcomes result from this subsidy. It is not this present administration. Because the removal is taking place in June. by June, this administration will be out of office. So there is no justification for any rush by this administration to begin to implement. I'm not sure that my own understanding is that, yes, they are announcing this, but I don't expect them, I'm talking about the present administration, to now begin to implement, to begin to draw down the so-called loan and begin to implement. It's not going to work. This is better left for the incoming administration, so that there be proper engagement and communication by the incoming administration. If it didn't work for all these palliatives to be discussed with them, then we can move on from there. The present administration has no business drawing down any loan or spending money on palliatives, even increasing salaries. All these things are better left for the incoming administration. I don't see any need for this much.
All right.
And you talk about the government putting money in refinery. Governments have been putting a lot of money in refinery. What result have you got out of it?
All right, Dr. Yusuf.
You know how much we have spent on turnaround maintenance?
All right, Dr. Yusuf, just hold that thought. Hold that thought, Dr. Yusuf. We'll go on a very short commercial. When we come back, we'll continue with the conversation. Please stay on the line for us.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info, we are back live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Joining on the conversation on Twitter, on Facebook, it is Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. And you can watch us and also contribute live on there. My guest this morning is an economist and CEO of Center for Promotion of Private Enterprise, Dr. Muda Yusuf. And we're looking at some of the palliative measures the government has put in place for post-subsidy removal. May 29 is around the corner. Subsidies to be removed by June. And some have even said before May 29. Most recently, the government made the announcement of a 40% increase in salary of civil servants, all geared towards cushioning the effect of subsidy removal. Mr. Yusuf, Dr. Yusuf, thank you very much for being a part of the conversation this morning and staying on the line for us.
Thank you.
All right. So, yes, we're talking about the monies earmarked for the salary increase and what we would have looked at. Why not look at the refineries? And you were talking about turnaround maintenance and how we haven't yielded any much result with that. If you can continue on your line of thought.
Now, the point I was making is that the whole essence of this subsidy removal is not just about increasing the price of petroleum products. It's essentially about opening up the space for the private sector to make investment and drive the process and take leadership. This is important because we cannot afford to continue to leave this strategic sector in the hands of the public sector, in the hands of politicians, in the hands of the bureaucrats. But that is what has brought us to this point. We are perhaps the only oil-producing country globally that is importing the amount, the scale of petroleum products that we are importing. Because we have left the oil sector, the refinery, to the public sector, by virtue of the kind of policy regime that we have put in place. So I will not support the idea of the government going ahead investing again in all of this area. We should follow through this reform in a way that we can get the private sector to invest in this refinery. That is a more sustainable solution, a more sustainable strategy. And the only way to get the private sector into this space, especially refineries, transportation pipelines, petrochemicals, and all of this, is to ensure that we remove the passing barriers. There's nowhere in the world where you want the private investor to come into a state. You are not able to control the cost. You are controlling the price. It doesn't work that way. And there are quite a number of investors who are ready to put in money in this very important sector. We should get to a point where, apart from even meeting our local needs of petroleum products, we should be exporting. All these illegal exports that are taking place in the West African sub-region, we should be able to normalize this and do it legally, so that we can earn a lot more foreign exchange. So I'm not a fan of the thing that government should go and invest again in refining. The government is not cut out for managing an enterprise. We should receive the role of government to that of regulation to ensure that people are not exploited, to ensure that you have a very good competition framework, to ensure that we don't have monopolies, to ensure that we have quality products. That is what the role of government should be. It's not about asking government to go and be spending money. This money should still go down the drain and be back to square one.
Dr. Yusuf, the government had repeatedly told Nigerians that there isn't much. I mean, we've been borrowing quite a lot. We have debt to pay. And everybody has said even any incoming government would have a lot to deal with regards to managing the demands of the country with lean resources available, which this government has alluded to a number of times about the scarcity of resources and inavailability of funds. When the ASUU strike was on, one of the conversations, collect loan to pay this for ASUU, we can't do this for that, we don't have money to do this and that. And many frowned when we were able to get $800 million now for palliative, for subsidy, which, I mean, what would have been needed to sort out ASUU was not even anywhere close to that amount of money. And we're looking at the increase. So it brings us to ask, where would the money be coming from? Remember that the 30,000 naira minimum wage implementation was a huge problem. Many state governments complained. The federal government also had issues with this. And some people till this day in some parts of the country still aren't being paid that amount of money. So do you see any possible full implementation of this 40% increase by the government if we have been complaining of shortage of lean resources and unavailability of funds?
You know, don't forget, this is taken in conjunction with the subsidy removal. If the subsidy is removed, and I also don't think that you can remove the entire subsidy in one fell swoop, because the shock may be too much. And for a phased removal, maybe we do it in three phases over 1 year or something, so that the shock on the citizens is not much. But more importantly is the fact that the subsidy removal is supposed to unlock some revenue. It's supposed to bring some savings to government. And my estimation is that by the time we do the removal of the entire subsidy, we should be unlocking a revenue of between 6 to 7 trillion naira annually. That's of savings, both from the direct subsidy, from all the leakages and all the corruption that are embedded in this subsidy rate. So if you have a savings of a minimum of 6 trillion or 7 trillion naira, you should be able to deal with all this increase. And beyond that, you should be able to do a lot more investment. For instance, possibly in maybe electricity or public transportation, railway system, all those things that can ease the burden of transportation. That is the kind of scenario that we expect to happen. Savings will come. That is why some of us are even bothered about the whole idea of going to borrow money for the palliative. Because the removal of subsidy in itself is supposed to bring savings. Savings in trillions of naira. So we are going to make savings. How must we go and borrow again to be able to deal with issues of palliative? Recall that in the past, we used to have a petroleum trust fund. At that time, even President Buhari was the chairman of the Petroleum Trust Fund at that time. And the context was that at that time, there was a withdrawal, I mean, removal of subsidy or partial removal. The savings was used to fund the Petroleum Trust Fund. And they had interventions in so many areas, so many aspects of the economy and the country.
But it seems as though
they were all over the place. The same concept was applied for Shopee under Jonathan. The Shopee program was funded from savings from the removal of subsidy at that time.
Okay.
So when the program borrowed to be funding facilities under this administration, I don't get it. I don't understand where that is coming from.
Dr. Yusuf, it seems as though we might question whether the plan for the post-subsidy removal would cover all Nigerians. Because if we critically look at what has been reeled out so far, it first had to cover the poor of the poor. That's where I think the 800 million first tranche, we don't know if we're expecting a second tranche, but it was dubbed the first tranche. And that would settle about 50 million Nigerians who are seen as poor of the poor. Now we're hearing the 40% increase for salary for civil servants by the federal government, which means it might have to cover federal workers. We are not aware of the state or local government workers. And also, importantly, what would now be the plan for the average Nigerian who works in the private sector, or for those who do not even have jobs but were not categorized under the poor of the poor? How are these people going to be carried along? Because once the subsidy issue hits, it's affecting everybody, not just federal government civil servants, not just the poor of the poor, but everybody.
Well,
so would you look at the plan so far and say it was well thought out?
No. You see, the framework is broader than this salary increase. And these are part of the engagements that should happen. First of all, if there is a removal of the subsidy, we expect a dramatic increase in revenue to the Federation account. That is a fact. Now, the allocations to the state will also correspondingly increase. Because right now, allocations to state under the FARC allocation have been dropping significantly because of this subsidy. NNPC is able to remit to FARC, that's to the federal allocation account, to the federation account. So if there is subsidy removal, there will be an increase in money that will accrue to the federation account. If there is an increase to that account benefits the local government, the federal government, and the state government. So each tier of government that is benefiting from the increase in the allocation on the back of the subsidy removal should be in a better position to be able to also announce their own palliative by way of increasing salaries, pension, and all these things that are associated with the workers in their various states. So from a revenue point of view, we expect better revenue to accrue to all the tiers of government if this subsidy is removed. That will put them in a much better position to be able to deal with some of the issues that you have raised. Secondly, I thought about the need for the government to go beyond this direct palliative and work with operators in the economy to bring down the cost of essential items. I talked about bringing down the cost of transportation. You can take a look at the import duty on vehicles, for instance. Who says you cannot bring it down? You can take a look at the cost of buses. How much import duty are we imposing on these buses? You can bring it down. Then government can also take from its own part of the revenue, both the state and local government, to invest a lot more in mass transit programs so that you have more government-owned buses that will be charging what you can call social price. They will not be charging commercial rates. so that the ordinary people, whether you are a worker, whether you are on your own, will be able to benefit. Then we need to deploy policies to also improve our electricity supply. Because if there is better electricity, the demand for all these petroleum products will also reduce.
The idea for transportation
is the demand component that has to do with buying fuel for generator and all of that. In manpower, why will you be spending so much on buying petrol for generator or for diesel? Are you following me?
Yes, of course. The issue for transportation, how effective this would be, we cannot tell. But then we've also heard that the government would be working with the NLC to see that it has mass transits for workers to and fro for the time being to cushion the effect with some sort of free transportation policy, which is what we're still talking about. The fact that we have these steps that are not long-term is just put in place and then afterwards, and some of them are not even well implemented, because this would not be the first time that the government would be suggesting something like this with Labour. Labour had had something like this previously as well. Not many people benefited from it. Overall, if we can, what would be the implication if the government had focused on making the refineries work? Wouldn't that have been the ultimate way to ensure that everybody benefits from this, and we might not have to carry the burden of increasing salaries or doing the extra palliative talks that we are hearing now? Wouldn't sorting out the refineries be the best way to go? Or do you think there are other ways that would be better fit to handle this situation?
Well, getting the refineries to work is a major solution to the problem. It's a major step.
So why is the government not talking about it? Why is it not being mentioned in any of these?
Let's situate this within the totality of the reform that you are talking about. This is within the framework of the Petroleum Industry Act. And this reform is structured in a way to take the government out of the equation. The government cannot deliver effective refinery. The government cannot run it efficiently. Corruption will continue in that space. Can you compare what you have with NITEL with what you have with the telco business? Can you compare? Where is NITEL today? We need the private sector to come into that arena. So please, let's stop talking about government going to invest in refineries. That has not helped.
So why not have a concession plan?
For 15 years, we have been in oil production. How many private refineries have you seen? The government has been sitting on the sector for so many years.
But Dr. Yusuf,
look at the waste.
But Dr. Yusuf, if you remember vividly, perhaps during the campaigns, we've had, let's say, the PDP presidential candidate talked a lot about privatization of the refineries and the rest of them. And we also had this administration ongoing saying, well, that's a plan for accusing the candidate and its cronies of wanting to take over the nation's assets and make money from it, etc., etc. We've had all those political statements made back and forth. But now here you are saying the government cannot manage it. We need the private sector. Is it now a thing of politics, perhaps? Why exactly? If that's the case, over the years, we have not heard the government talk about a concession plan to have maybe private individuals run the refineries. In fact, the focus seemed to have shifted more to the Dangote refinery, which the government is waiting to come up to run. The Port Harcourt refinery was supposed to be running as at November last year. It went to December. It was now postponed to March. And now we have to wait for the second quarter of this year. We don't know when in the second quarter. So, politics, the major problem now?
You see, when people are making money from a particular situation, especially people in government and some policymakers, the bureaucrats and the politicians, once people are pursuing self-interest, it will be difficult to reform that kind of space. That is what is playing out. People don't want to let go of the refinery because people are making... Do you know how many people are working there doing nothing and drawing salary. You know how much we are spending on all this turnaround maintenance? Where is the money going to? Some people are benefiting from the rot in that sector.
Why isn't the government investigating then? The money it has put in, why not do an audit? Why not investigate? Why not find out where this money is going to, who is holding them, and make proper prosecution or prosecute people who are found wanting?
Well, you have to refer that to those who are in government. But as a citizen, I believe that we need to push back the government from this sector and allow investors to come into that state. If we allow that to happen, we are likely to get investment annually of close to $5 billion in that space. Because it's not just about even the refineries. You have the petrochemicals, you have the fertilizer plant, you have the transportation system, you have the pipelines. A whole lot of opportunities are there, waiting away. Look at the opportunity in the global market now, both for gas and for oil. Crude oil and even refined petroleum products. We are not taking advantage of it. The little money we are making, we are even using it to import petroleum products, creating jobs in other countries. The summary is that the government cannot run refineries. We should take them out of it. Yeah, the private sector. Why are they talking about Dangote refinery? Is Dangote refinery not a private refinery? Why are we not talking about our own domestic refinery? The truth is that the government cannot deliver on this thing. And we should face it. And the only way we can get the private sector to go in there is to remove the subsidy. But we have to remove it in a way that depends on the citizens with the very minimum. That is why we should be more concerned about the transition. We need to remove it in a way that we don't create monopolies. We need to remove it in a way that we allow competition in that space, so that there are the minimum exploitation of the citizens in my turn. So it is not a space for the government to be. Look at what the private sector is doing in other sectors, for goodness sake. You are speaking to me from Nigeria Info. Is Nigeria Info not a private sector broadcast station? Do you know how many private sector broadcast stations we have around the country? Both radio and television. Can you compare it to the days where we had only NTA, where you have to wait until 4 o'clock before you can the television can commence? Look at the transformation that has taken place. Look at the aviation sector. Look at what the private sector is doing there. Look at hospitals. Look at even schools. Why should the same thing not happen in the petroleum sector? Just because some people, out of self-interest, they sat on it, and you are using it as patronage.
Right,
that
doctor.
Is what is creating all this problem.
Dr. Muda Yusuf.
And if this economy must move forward, we have to change the entire narrative.
All right, Dr. Muda Yusuf.
That is what this subsidy thing is all about.
Thank you very much. But we'd have to draw the curtain here. We say a very big thank you for being a part of the conversation today.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Well, you heard that Dr. Yusuf speaking and his response to his position on government's post-subsidy palliative plans, 40% increase in salaries of civil servants by the federal government, amongst many other plans put in place. Let's take a few of your messages now on Facebook. Savior Sunday says, if I compliment such promise, I am not honest to nature. We all know that the welfare of civil servants have been caricatured. This is deceit being glorified. Ime Brown says, it's a welcome development but will not solve the problem. All we need is a refinery that can produce our own petrol locally. This person says insecurity on the what? International Airport Road down to Rumokoro without street lights. Well, easier, Akpadu, this conversation has been held countless of times. We'll continue talking about it. The street light situation in Port Harcourt is huge. I'm pretty sure Jude would have that handled on Hello Port Harcourt. You might just stick around and you'll get to hear it. Hello, let's go to the phone lines now. Nigeria Info, good morning. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, good morning. My name is Muriel from Okreta.
All right, Muriel, good morning. Go ahead.
Excuse me. You see, first of of all, I want to ask, who are the managers of this economy and our country? They are the ones that taught us in economies about scale of preference, and they cannot even draw it themselves. Look, you hear me? I don't even care if they want to remove subsidy, but in their scale, what are the top most important, the things that are most important to the Nigerian populace? Is it not the building of the refineries? Okay. If they think that is not the top most important, and they still dashing us money and increasing our salaries are the best way to go, SME, what are the things that they are supposed to do first? The first thing is to control price. Can you not even control the Nigerian products, the goods that we produce in our country? Can the government not even control it? Okay, what about controlling the cost of production? How much are you supposed to put into producing the products, and how much are you supposed to add as profit? Can you not say you can't even control those things? You can't even do anything. The only thing you want to do is to add a little stipend to our salaries, and you think that's the way to go. Now, I see me, if they don't want to build refineries, fine, no problem. But, anyway, I want to say the government should not entirely leave production of petroleum. Absolutely not. I want to say they should not move their hands. Do you know why? Because if they leave it totally for the private sector, it will be so harmful to us. Because they cannot even control cost of production. They cannot even control how much the people they produce. They don't even know how much the private sector will invest in producing this product and how much they will charge. They cannot even do it. So the government should at least help us, the populace, to still continue in producing fuel and maybe in a way try to reduce the price, just as they do with the NNPC filling station. Absolutely, right. They should not remove their hands.
All right, Muriel, thank you.
Look at rice. There's a lot to say, but let me just leave the platform for others.
Thank you very much. JJ from Rumigbo, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
You're welcome.
We are such a funny people. If we say the palliative and all those stuff is not the way to go, which I also support, then privatization of the refinery should be the way to go. Andrew, we all know how the petrochemical was before Indorama came in. And the money they are making right now, the community, the government, the state government, the federal government, everybody happy, everybody leak onto the bank every quarter, and they make so much money. Maybe the way of privatization, or the way Atiku did the first one when he was vice president, is what people are afraid of. From what your guest has explained, I think that should be the only way to go. Or maybe we just hand over everything, the four refineries, in addition to the one that Dangote is building. Say, bros, take all this. After all, federal government has bought into Dangote refinery, even when it's not completed, I think about 20%, a huge sum of money. But this money will so be wasted, and at the end of the day, we'll all regret it and pay back through our nose. So for me,
JJ,
I think the government should do the right thing by building the refinery, make it work, and see how we can knock off. Once the refinery work, what is subsidy again now? And
all right, JJ, thank you very much. A short commercial now. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Nigeria's number one talk radio station. Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. We are back.
All right, we are back, and as we attempt to wrap things up for the news at 9, and hello, Potaka, to comment, I'll take a few more of these messages on Facebook. This person here, Adeyemi, says, good morning, Andrew. I believe it's a welcome development. For 4 years, the government has not looked into the salary of civil servants. I believe this will cover some parts of hardship the citizens of this country are going through. Whether it's going to be continuous or it's going to be just to cushion the impact of the post-subsidy removal, let's also put that in mind. So we don't conclude and say, well, this is going to be the new order. We know that there's been calls for an increase in minimum wage, upward review. Stephen Igbudu says, if not diversionary, it's supposed to be a brilliant idea. Onyeka Chesubike on Facebook says, the Nigerian government is fond of bringing up diversionary, brilliant ideas at the tail end of their tenures. Laudable gesture though, but no cheers from me. Desi Zokolaka says, implementation will be the issue. Arinze Jaja says, it is a brilliant idea. On WhatsApp, this one says, sir, as long as there is no check and balance, equal rights and justice, there is no democracy in Nigeria. So our leaders have disappointed us in all areas of life, education. Sorry about that. Education, health, economy, so so on. Promise, Nwachukwu, and I'll take one more. The government is talking about borrowing money to help the poor of the poor. Question is, how will they determine the poor of the poor? How will they distribute the money? How much will they receive? We need to look into this critically. Thanks. But that's that. We wrap things up today on our conversation for the Morning Crossfire. Tomorrow, a public holiday. Some people are excited about it. Monday, public holiday as well. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew on all platforms. Stay tuned.